Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, May 28th, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I am today recording from Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. Well, we talked quite a bit about Twitter's two-factor authentication. Turns out that apparently there is a problem in that it is pretty easy to disable Twitter's two-factor authentication system by sending a spoofed SMS message. Twitter originally sort of started out as an SMS service where you send an SMS to Twitter and then that SMS message is broadcast to your friends using Twitter. Based on this heritage of Twitter, the two-factor authentication also heavily relies on SMS. So, for example, it is possible to disable the two-factor authentication but by just sending the word stop to Twitter from the respective phone number. The stop command will remove the phone number from Twitter. It will stop additional tweets being received by the phone, including any two-factor authentication messages. So as a result, two-factor authentication will then be disabled for the account. Given that SMS spoofing is certainly possible, this is a significant weakness to the way Twitter two-factor authentication is enabled and disabled. Sadly, that's sometimes a common problem, as in how do you respond if someone wants to turn off two-factor authentication, for example, after they lose their token. The reset mechanism for the token may actually be the weak link here, just like in Twitter's case, and invalidate some of the extra security that two-factor authentication provides. And then we have yet another weak implementation of SSL. This time it's a vulnerability in Cisco's WebEx client. The vulnerability was originally reported to Secunia, and Secunia, after having received no fix from Cisco for 6 months, now went public with this problem. The Cisco IOS WebEx client does not validate whether or not the SSL certificate presented by the server is valid. As a result, it is pretty trivial to play a man in the middle. Typically, the mobile application should display a warning to the user, telling the user that a certificate is bad and giving the user the option to accept the bad certificate. But in this case, the bad certificate is accepted silently. Quite frequently, this is something that's left over from developer testing in development environments. People frequently do use invalid certificates, do not have to go through the trouble to actually assigning a valid certificate to developer servers, but still then in the live environment, of course, this check should be enforced. Even in a developed environment, it's usually not that hard to obtain a valid certificate, so your testing can use the same kind of restriction environment as the final product. And then we got a great guest diary by TJ O'Connor describing some recent tests that he performed on the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, or EMET version 3.5. One of the issues when the toolkit came out was how well will it protect us against new attacks that weren't known yet at the time the toolkit was released. So TJ took the recent Internet Explorer 8 zero day that was used in some of these targeted or waterhole attacks and checked how EMET version 3.5 performed. Needless to say, it performed quite well. It detected various attack techniques that were used as part of this particular exploit. So even if you disabled a couple of features here and there in the toolkit to, for example, prevent false positives, there's still a good chance that you were protected if you ran EMET at the time you were exposed to this particular exploit. And we got another two-factor authentication related news item, yet more Android malware that is targeting two-factor authentication tokens, in this case, in particular, tokens sent via SMS messages. Dr. Web is describing a Trojan that they're calling Android.Pincer2Origin. It has a specific feature that allows forwarding of SMS messages that arrive from a particular number. So the attacker, once the attacker knows which number the SMS is sent from, will then automatically forward these messages to the attacker. Now, this particular Trojan wouldn't go after other two-factor authentication mechanisms like Google Authenticator or such. It, of course, could do that if the secret that's usually used to seed these two-factor authentication systems is accessible. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.